The White Noise Podcast is an independent, community-led production. It is not affiliated nor endorsed by Gizmodo or Gawker Media. Views expressed in this podcast are solely those of each participant.
Please do not listen
if you are easily offended.
What you are about to hear is real. It has not been edited or enhanced.
Welcome. You've got
White Noise.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 7 of the White Noise Podcast, a show about technology, gadgets, industry gossip, and anything really. Expect some extra doses of randomness to come your way. We got an awesome show lined up for you tonight, with special guests starting off with our trusty sidekick, Gonzo Ryder. And Gonzo Ryder's asleep at the wheel.
He's already passed out from all the beer.
He's already drunk and gone.
Well, fuck.
Ben Glenn is joining us tonight.
How you doing, everybody? It's a rainy day here in San Diego, and everyone forgot how to drive.
Let's see, we got Snoop Dizzle joining
us.
Hey,
what's up?
From Canada, aka New York.
Hey.
Vito number 9 is with us.
I'm not muted.
And special guest tonight is Brian Brushwood.
Greetings, citizens of the internet.
All right, and of course, live tweeting is the ever so handy Kevlar Menace, who's probably already spammed the shit out of you on Twitter. So, I want to thank you all for coming out tonight, especially Brian. For those who don't know, Brian is the host of Scam School on Revision3.com, and he also does the NSFW podcast on Twitter. Brian, tell us a little bit about yourself. What brings you here tonight, and give us a little rundown of who you are, what you do.
I am a performer who tours all over the United States doing a bizarre magic show with idiotic stuff like fire-eating escapes, mind-reading, and stick nails in my eyes. It's like a punk rock magic show. And about 2.5 years ago, we launched Scam School, which is a show all about how to score free drinks at the bar by using magic and trickery on your friends. And I loved doing the online stuff so much that we spun off some different online projects, and now I guess I'm up to 4 podcasts now between Scam School and NSFW is a weekly comedy podcast. Now I'm doing Frame Rate with Tom Merritt, where we review movies and TV shows and viral videos, and finally, my favorite of the projects, which is the Weird Things podcast. It's an audio-only podcast where me and a couple of people who are way smarter than me talk about the possibility of stuff like Bigfoot, Sasquatch, science, you know, the supernatural, ghosts, and eating zombies.
Nice. So how did you get started with all this? I mean, did it just you woke up one day and it happened? You had this idea and you pursued it, or
You know what? I went through it must have been about 5 years ago. I went through the full process of pitching a show and having it get picked up, doing some development footage, and then getting it passed. And it was so maddening because everybody was just choosing the most stupid things, and nobody was really in charge. Like, I had a very clear idea of what I thought the show should be, but instead, you know, they're the ones who are professionals. They're the one who run the TV network. So I just said yes to everything, and they got a very, very bland project that was very boring. I didn't even like it, so of course it got passed over. And so I was left so enraged. I was like, what a waste of time. I was like, dude, I want to host stuff on TV. I want to host a program. And I realized that I didn't care if it was on TV or not. I just wanted to do something that people would watch. And it was around this time I was out for a jog, and I was listening to This Week in Tech, and I heard David Prager talk about the launching of Revision 3. And I was like, David Prager, is that the same segment producer that produced my segment when I did Unscrewed with Martin Sargent 2 years ago? And sure enough, it was. And so I sent a proposal for Scam School, which is, you know, it's not rocket science. It's basically, hey, Brian knows a bunch of tricks. He wrote this book on, you know, 57 ways to scam a free drink. Why don't we make it into a series of 5 to 10 minute podcasts? And they went for it. And it's been amazing to watch it grow organically over the year and have all these opportunities to spin off and become, you know, another player in the internet crowd.
For sure, for sure. And you've done an awesome job over the years, and it's been a real pleasure to listen and to watch all your shows. Everybody here gets a kick out of them. So thank you for doing what you do, and thank you again for joining us on this new yet humble podcast tonight.
Well, I hope that I can take away whatever small budding amount of credibility you may have had before you had me on.
that was gone long before you got here, sir.
Okay, good.
We killed that within the first minutes of episode one.
See, that's magic. Retroactive magic.
And you know what? Since you mentioned it, I'm going to say it. Unscrewed was fucking awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Back in the day, right? How great was that?
Unscrewed. I remember Unscrewed.
It was really wild. I did the show twice. Once when they were in San Francisco, and that's when I met Joey the intern, who was actually the person who hooked me up with the contacts over at Revision 3 many years later. But it was interesting to feel how electric the atmosphere was in San Francisco and to feel how weirdly demoralized it was getting when they went to L.A. because that was, you know, and I'm on the outside. Don't think I have any kind of inside sauce here, but it was like G4, you know, Comcast bought the channel and merged it with G4, and all of a sudden they started changing up stuff. They flew me out originally to teach Kevin Rose how to blow fire. That was going to be the segment. And then after they paid for everything, they're like, some suit's like, well, I don't see the tech angle. And they're like, who cares what the tech angle is? This is going to be great. And they're like, no, I don't see the tech angle, kill the segment. And so I was already out in L.A. They flew me out to not do the segment with Kevin Rose. And they're like, well, let's figure out something we could do. So we came up with a couple of segments with Martin Sargent on Unscrewed.
So you were a big fan of tech TV at the time, or were you really watching it?
Oh, no, no, no.
Yeah. Everybody geek watched tech TV.
Everyone loves tech TV, though. That's true. Well,
and before I quit my day job, my job was to be one of the high-end consultants at Dell for their outside, for all their non-Dell stuff. So like when Dell first started to sell, third-party merchandise, a lot of the sales tech people had no idea what they were talking about. They were like, I need a Voodoo 3D Effects Generation 2 with an AGP. And they're like, duh. So they made a small group of people that they would escalate it to. And since I was really into building systems for high-end PC gaming, I knew a bit about computing. And so in order to keep my skills sharp, I would watch the screensavers every single day when I got home from work. So it was really weird. It still is very weird for me to realize that I have become friends with so many of the people that I used to watch as a fan, 10 years ago? Wow. How about that?
It amazes me the the amount of influence tech TV had on people. I think it was on a O'Doctor's show. I asked a question to Leo, and he was just talking about, how crazy people went over it. I mean, I think a lot of people went into the tech realm because of that. I mean, I'm pursuing a multimedia journalism major now because basically tech TV, it really grew my love for tech.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. And I I'm very aware that I'm coming into the room just as we're hearing all the echoes of the tech TV experience bounce around. But I'm hoping that, 10 years from now, people will be talking about the echoes of the Twit experience. Or who knows, maybe Twit will be a full-on cable network It's so amazing because anything can happen because there's obviously something happening with new media and this interesting fragmentation where you can get very, very specific radio programs tailored to the weirdest things. I love the fact that there's so many podcasts about The Walking Dead out of nowhere.
And look at this podcast too. We just started up a couple of weeks ago out of nowhere about nothing at all except technology and gadgets. I mean, The opportunities are endless right now.
Yes,
we're at the big bang of the social networking media experience.
Well, and it always starts. Keep in mind, whenever, and this is something I gave a whole talk on this at the New Media Expo earlier. I think it was last year. But whenever a new market emerges, there's no money in it, and there's no reason that the current champs have any reason to go into it. For example, when radio was big, and then they started broadcast television. All they did was they took their radio actors and they turned on some, they just, showed them doing their radio show because they didn't understand the medium. And eventually you had the three big, big broadcast media giants. Then in the 70s, when cable television started, there was no money in it. So nobody would say, well, then why, why on earth when we spend money to put programming on cable, there's nobody's watching. And so it was the early movers. It was the Turner, the CNN, the Comedy Central, the HBOs who got in and dominated that market early on when there was nobody watching. And then by the time in the early 80s that they realized, oh, crap, we should get into cable, NBC just made, well, we'll do CNBC. It'll be just like NBC, but on cable. It'll be cable NBC. And the network went nowhere until they realized that what they needed to do was serve something that's never been served before. So they came up with the idea of the business news network. And then eventually the network survived. But likewise, we're seeing the same thing with new media. And it's still early in the game. We're less than 5 years into this experiment. And it's still a giant land grab to where the people who are dominating are not, you know, your NBCs, unless you count, like, you know, the Hulu experiment. Obviously, they're able to buy their way in with the high-quality content. But stuff that's grown from the new media empire, it's your Revision 3s, it's your Twits, it's all of these built from, you know, your next new networks, all of these things coming from within the internet that are going to dominate that space.
I think the good thing is, too, that there's a level of quality in all this, too. I mean, like, NSFW show, the other show you do, that's one of my favorite shows, including TV shows, amongst wow. Walking Dead, Big Bang Theory, and the like.
I think it's something that you can have a trade-off in production value. Obviously, we are not spending the amount on NSFW that they do for 5 seconds of the Big Bang Theory. But hopefully, we are saying things to you on NSFW that you cannot hear on any other program, whether it's on television, at the movie theater, or, you know, even for the most part on, you know, on the internet as well. If you can speak to an audience and target them directly, then I think you can stand toe-to-toe with them.
But staying on the topic of new media, I think new media was the center of attention this week in gadget and tech news. First off, you mentioned Hulu. Hulu recently dropped its price $2 to $7.99 in order to make its offering for Hulu Plus. They're taking it finally out of the preview stage. Is this enough to entice customers that were sort of bitching and moaning about the whole $9.99 price tag for Hulu Plus just to get premium content on their computer or their PlayStation or whatever media device they use it on?
Honestly, no.
No,
because
not at all.
I've been using Hulu for a while now, and we have a lot of problems with it. Like, it'll slow down, it'll lurch, it takes forever to buffer. I'm not going to pay for my shows to sit there and buffer, you know? If you can't give me good content for free, how am I supposed to expect you to give me good content for something I have to pay for? Simply because you can't make it move faster if I'm paying for it because of the whole net neutrality thing. So, you know, am I making sense to anybody else, or am I just babbling?
There's a bit of an inconsistency with Hulu, like what shows you can view and everything, and the whole thing with CBS. I think if they opened it up a bit more, I wouldn't mind it. I use cable for internet, but I don't, you know, do cable TV. So, I mean, I use Hulu or whatever other services out there. So, I mean, I'm open to using that, but some things have to change first.
Don't tell anybody, but I just share a Hulu account with a friend of mine, and she gets access to my Netflix. So, shh.
Yeah, we're not going to tell anyone. All three of our viewers don't give a shit.
It's not like I just recorded this or anything. No one's going to listen.
See,
who cares?
That's the big showdown that I'm excited about, is the Hulu versus Netflix showdown. And right now, unfortunately, it's a pissing contest between who can get what licenses to what content. And that's not how I want to see. What I want to see it all break down as is that it's all the same availability for everything. But the difference is you pay a monthly fee and you have no commercials on Netflix, or you get it for free on Hulu, but you have to watch commercials. To me, that would be the perfect. That would be the best scenario all the way across the board.
Yeah, but if you're paying for Hulu, you still have to watch the ad, which is really bizarre.
See, that's the mistake, I think, on their part.
Yeah, the whole point of Hulu putting the ads in was because they were trying to make money. But if they're charging you for it, now, granted, they're still going to have the ads in the non-paid version for the same reason. But if you're paying for it, then why are they putting the ads in? You know?
Yeah, like I'll put up with
ads, just get up and get a drink anyway.
But yeah, it's interesting to see. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, it's a real bummer to me that far and away the best experience you can have, if what you want to do is watch cable television shows on your home computer, the best experience you're going to get is with piracy. And that's a real bummer, because I understand that there's layers upon layers of licensing that have to be worked out, but you know, guys, hurry up and figure this out, because I don't want to have to go pirate stuff.
Up until last week, I had to go to some little hole in the wall back alley website to watch Big Bang Theory, but thankfully CBS pulled their head out of their collective ass and finally started putting them up on the website. So
oh, they did?
Yes, they did.
I didn't know that.
As recently as last week, whenever you wanted to get a Big Bang, you'd have to go down to some dark hole in the wall. All right.
I had to do unspeakable things to get my Big Bang.
It's like a drug dealer.
Oh, boy.
Or a prostitute.
Gonzo. Netflix and Hulu are poised to duke this out. And, of course, you know, the networks, if they decide to jump in on this and restrict Hulu and Netflix, like some of them already are doing, then it's going to be a huge, interesting thing to go down, which is only going to hurt us, the end user and the consumer in the end, that just really doesn't give a shit about how much anything costs. We just want to watch a freaking movie or our TV show without, you know, going through 50 million different hoops.
Right.
And one of the biggest giants to fall in this, I don't even think they were a contender in this battle, was Blockbuster. And, you know, they filed for bankruptcy, they're restructuring. And all of a sudden, they're coming out right now, and they're swinging with, I think, a multi-million-dollar national ad campaign bashing Netflix. And they've got no weight to swing around Blockbuster, and they're coming out swinging. Is Blockbuster gone crazy? What are they thinking?
I think...
I love paying $4 per movie for 3 days. Like, that's awesome. Don't you,
guys? I recently rented a game from there. I usually use Gamefly, but sometimes there you have to wait a bit. So I just... for the heck of it, got Force Unleashed because I didn't really care too much about it, just so I could say I could play through it. There's always like this strange passive-aggressive attitude there. And where I am, it's a college town, so I think that's the only reason why Blockbuster's still there. Back at home and other places, I've seen them all closed down, but it just seems like they're just hanging on the last thread and about to die.
Yeah, you know, I used to work at Hollywood Video, and a part of me is a little sad to like see home rental all go, but at the same time, good riddance, and shit sucks.
You know what? Think about it. If you have the option of Netflix, which means you don't have to go out and actually associate with people if you're one of those types, or like around here we have Redbox pretty much everywhere. You know, why am I going to pay as much for a Blockbuster and, you know, possibly have to go out of my way when I can just go over to the Walmart or the grocery store where I'm going to be anyway, grab my movie for a buck, watch it, and then take it back, you know?
Blockbuster seems to think they're like a department store nowadays, too. Like, you've been in there recently? They sell fucking, like, Snuggies and books and posters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they sell all sorts of random shit. Like, I might as well buy a blender while I'm there, too.
Get a movie and cover up your fat, shameful body with this Snuggie.
And when it comes to TV seasons, well, there's no comparison. I mean, like, Netflix has basically the entire Battlestar Galactica series live streaming. I've been rewatching them, and I've been a big procrastinator this week with school because I've just been watching them over and over.
You know, I wish that they were a little more consistent about, and I understand it's not their fault, it's the licensing deals, but like stuff's available, then it's not available, then it's back to available. I thought it was great in the months leading up to the finale of Lost that you could watch the entire series from the first episode to the end of, I think, the fifth or sixth season. I forget how many seasons there were, but you could watch the whole thing straight through on streaming for, you know, I think it's what's the smallest package on Netflix?
Like $8.99.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, with Battlestar, I think currently only the two first episodes that set up the whole story are on DVD or Blu-ray, which what happened was I was like, you know, I'm going to start rewatching Battlestar, so I just put it in my queue, and then, you know, this previous week I decided to start watching it, and then I was like, you know what, I'm too lazy, I'm just going to watch through all these on live streaming instead of Blu-ray, but, you know, other stuff I'd go for Blu-ray probably.
I think the only advantage Blockbuster right now has over anything that it considers a competitor is that it gets movies, I think, 28 days before everybody else. They have like a month dibs on new releases. So
if we're counting the unspeakable, if we're counting the fact that right now the best, the highest quality option that exists is piracy. And again, I'm not for that, but that's a fact. That's, you know, you got to factor in the piracy as for most people a viable option, like it or not.
It's true, and until, you know, it hasn't been till the last few years that the industry is sort of grasping the handles on the whole online thing. Before that, I mean, with the RIAA, it's like, you know, online music, Napster, fuck you, lawsuit, you know? Now they're slowly starting to realize, hey, this is the future of media, and it's transferring to the consumer. Let's try to find ways to work with it and find ways to make this work instead of, you know, going gung-ho on everybody.
Hey, Steven, you mentioned that lead time. Does it actually matter to anyone else? Because I know me personally, I have so much shit I need to watch that I don't care if I got to wait a month because there's everything else I need to catch up on. Like, if I really need to see a movie that bad, I'm probably going to buy it.
No, yeah, that's one I want to own. Like I said, I think that's the only thing they have going for them. Will it really matter? Probably not. I think there was an interesting comic that I saw yesterday that involved Netflix with everybody starts off thinking, yeah, you know, $8 a month, I'm going to rent all the movies I can, watch them the day they come, mail them back the same day, and that's how I'm going to stick it to Netflix. You know, they're going to steal my money. And then what ends up happening is you get one movie, and then a month later it's still gathering dust on your dresser table because, you know, you haven't watched it yet. You haven't had the time. So time is of something that we do not have as a society.
I've had disc one of How I Met Your Mother, season one, on my TV for 2 months, and I haven't even touched it at all.
That face is laughing at you.
Yeah,
they're patting their greedy paws.
But that's one of the there's been psychological experiments that verify that we have a tendency to budget money much, much more intelligently than we budget our time. We always think we have more time than we actually do.
Well, I budget my money pretty bad, so
and your time's even worse.
This coming year, Blockbuster, aside from the financial issues they're going to have, are going to have a lot of difficulties. I mean, to give a realistic example, I helped pick out with my parents' Blu-ray player. We almost got PS3, but we didn't. But I signed them up for Netflix, and at the time, they just never really used it. And at that point, there really wasn't many shows, but now, like, everything's on Netflix, so I'm really wondering how Blockbuster is going to separate themselves and make any money at all, I guess.
They're going to separate themselves by dying and laying to rest in the grave.
And unfortunately, it does look like that's where they're headed. But there is a place for a physical store, a boutique with an expert who you could go in who maybe, I mean, imagine you had a place where it's like the movies were outrageously expensive. It was like $7 to rent a movie. But it was like a high-end wine shop. You walked in, and this guy knew everything about every movie, and he would make recommendations, and he would listen to what you're into and propose, well, you ought to start this series and hand it over to you. Like, that can exist. That can exist as a local phenomenon, but not this one-size-fits-all cocksure, you know, douchebaggery that
He better be wearing a smoker's jacket, having a pipe and a monocle on at the same time.
Hells yeah.
And he better be British.
Dude, that's what I'm wearing right now.
Brilliant!
Staying on topic of failing brands, just really quickly and briefly, MySpace pretty much they struck a deal with Facebook saying you can now associate your MySpace account with Facebook, and you could use Facebook Connect to log in and pretty much link your two accounts together. And if you think about it, Facebook just pretty much is like, here, have my table scraps.
Are we still beating the MySpace horse? Like, who gives
like
a
I
shit?
Said, briefly. Briefly.
I think I might still have an account because a few years ago I tried to delete it a few times and I think it never actually got deleted because for them to delete it, you know, they
you
go
may never
through
leave.
Leaps and bounds to keep you. I'm not sure if it's the same way Facebook does. You know, you have to wait 2 weeks of doing absolutely nothing for it to go away, but I bet if I looked, it would still be there.
I logged in yesterday just kind of on a whim. And they just redesigned the whole site, and it is fucking atrocious. Don't even go out of curiosity.
Like
it sucks.
Scored?
Never look back. No, it's even more atrocious. Okay. They're like, hey, everybody, Web 2.0. Let's fucking throw pop-up shits here and Flash here. Hey, everybody, we're cool. We're relevant.
No, I miss GeoCities. I really do.
You are the only one.
I miss it.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I just looked at MySpace.
I told you not to. What did I tell you?
Okay, I'm doing it.
I thought you didn't give a shit enough.
What the hell?
Curiosity intrigued me.
Nope.
Right, I need to move on.
Terrible.
I'm going on.
The logo is my, and then it has an under, just a blank.
Yes.
That's terrible.
It's artistic and clever. No, it's not. It's fucking
although there is one cool thing. Put your mouse over the blank on there.
Yeah, I did notice that. Well, that's kind of cool. But to quote one of the best movies of all time, this is Spinal Tap. I can only refer to it as a two-word review. Shit sandwich.
Yeah, they're boring themselves there. Wow.
All right. That's enough beating the MySpace horse. Moving on to Rockmelt, the new browser from the guys who were behind the Netscape browser to begin with. Rockmelt pretty much is a whole new web browser focused around social media, sharing, communicating, pretty much all your Facebooks, your MySpaces, and your Twitters, and all the other stuff are integrated fully into this web browser. Right now it's available for a limited beta. If you know somebody that could shoot you an invite, which is by now most of the people know somebody that does, give it a try. I know we've had some people on here that have tried it. Before we even start talking about it, I want to let Benguin give his review. That way he could be, you know, safe from all the bashing that he's going to get from everybody else about it. But
Benguin, why
don't you give us your first impressions?
Basically, when you first launch it up, it looks just like Chrome, really. It asks you for your Facebook login right away. It's the first thing you do. And I don't know if you can even get away with not putting it in. I didn't try. I just succumbed, whatever. I'm used to it by this point. Yeah, it looks just like Chrome, but you got two sidebars on either side. On the left, you have your like Facebook chat, and on the right, there's some widgets. By default, you got like your news feed, your notifications, and there's also a Twitter one, but you have to log into that separate. I've tried to add some other widgets, like my Gmail. It didn't actually work that well, but I added some other like websites, and that seemed all right. And it's kind of nifty to have it there. It's handy. When you click it, it pops up a little like window that you can see everything at a glance, and one thing about Rockmelt, as I was about to get to, is that as you have it open, you're always logged into the chat, and I guess it's okay if you like to chat with people, but if you're kind of like a pariah and you don't want to talk to anybody, it's pretty annoying. And I just got a message from Mr. Gonzo Rider saying it sucks ass. Even though I didn't have the browser active or anything, it just pops up. The really annoying thing.
You can't even toggle, look invisible or sign out?
You probably can, but maybe I was doing something wrong, but every time I opened it again, it defaulted me back to online.
So,
yeah, and then it's kind of nice that it's integrated, but the thing is when you actually start a conversation, it pops that open into its own window, and every conversation you have is its own window, and then so you'll have a bunch, and that's
Does it keep track of what sites you're going to and share that with your friends or
no? God, I hope there that. It makes it really easy to do that if you want to. Actually, there's a big share button right next to the URL. Thanks for bringing that up. It doesn't do it automatically because that could be horrible. But
I would lose many friends if they found out that I go to poopysex.com quite often.
Well, it's all right. You would get more. So maybe a better kind of friend.
Gonzo, what are your thoughts on the browser?
I mean, it's kind of neat, I guess. I found it really unimpressive because it's not any better than having Chrome open and then a Facebook tab. Like, it doesn't save you. There's Chrome extensions, but it's not.
Can you actually install extensions? Because I was trying to, like, maybe like an ad block and mouse.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out how to do it.
Oh, did you? Well, no, I don't mean in Chrome. I mean in Rockmelt.
Is it based off of the Chromium engine?
I believe it is. Yeah.
So therefore, you should be able to use extensions on it technically.
I guess I couldn't find a way to do that actually. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm retarded, which I wouldn't be surprised, but I couldn't do it. And I usually use Firefox, so I have all sorts of extensions, and I know the transition was a bit painful. I couldn't see using it as my main browser, maybe just as a novelty to keep around. But, you know, if anyone wants to give it a shot and they don't have any real friends, you can send me an email at ben@savageboredom.com and I'll give you one. I got a couple left over.
Now, how would you describe...
Without any real friends, if you're a loser, then you can email Ben.
Exactly. And then you can talk to me on Facebook chat.
I'll be your only friend.
How would you describe the presentation? Is it very fluid or is it very finicky at this point?
The presentation's nice. The one thing that I don't really like I mentioned with the chat windows where it pops up their own, like when you see your contacts on the left-hand side originally, like when you just click on them real quick, it pops up a little window that's integrated, and that's nice. But when you actually start a chat, it makes its own, and I don't really like it.
Awesome. Yeah.
I heard that if you hit the little search, start typing in a little search box on the top, it automatically pops up the results right below it instead of loading up an actual Google page. Is that true?
Oh, yeah, it does do that. That's actually pretty cool. I forgot about that feature. It's kind of handy, but I don't personally, I rather go to Google, and like kind of going back to the whole Google Instant thing that came out a few weeks ago, I don't really care for it. So I don't know, I guess it's nice for a certain kind of person, but not really for me.
Okay, well, again,
I agree with that.
It's in beta, it's got a ways to go. Give it a try if you know somebody that could send you an invite. Benguin has invites, and I think the more people you send an invite to that accept it, the more invites you get. Is that right?
Yeah, because I started out with like 3 when I first got it a few days ago, and I invited Gonzo, a couple other people, and I have more now, so.
Gotcha. You
know. On the plus side, it does do something. You can put RSS feeds like on the side and a little pane on the side, which is kind of neat.
So yeah, I did do that.
Kicking it into the ground.
But yeah, like I mentioned earlier, like, I don't know, I put my Gmail and it didn't seem to work. Like, I load it up and it shows my emails from like yesterday, not any of the most recent ones I have. So
it doesn't work that good. Okay.
No. Cool. Well, on the other end of the browser spectrum, Internet Explorer 9 was sort of busted. Some say cheating, some say, you know, just a problem with their engine, but with the whole SunSpider test that tests out engines in terms of JavaScript, I'm not sure what the technical details are, but it's one of the basic tests that all browsers should be able to pass, and it's a performance test. And turns out that Internet Explorer 9 had amazing results almost instantaneous with this thing, which isn't something odd about some browser tests, but the guy who saw it dug a little deeper and changed the SunSpider code just a little bit, and IE9 bombed big time. And he submitted a bug report, and people who saw that took it and ran with it, saying that IE9 cheated the test. They purposely put code in there to circumvent it in order to give the illusion that it passed the test with flying colors.
Now, this is a problem that exists with the hardware side of things as well. 3D cards for years had been optimizing for like the 3D Mark, you know, 2001 through 2008 tests. And so I don't know where it stands now. But I don't know that they ever used the words cheating. They always said, you know, they were optimizing for, which is about the same as cheating, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And you're not going to be able to finger point. And nobody's going to come out and say, yeah, you know, we cheated, or, you know, or they're not going to give you the nitty-gritty behind it. But it sort of makes you wonder how much of this is actually sort of falsified or, shall we say, adjusted in favor of certain pieces of software or certain pieces of hardware on the market right now.
Like, for example, would it be cheating if a browser decided to prioritize, like the original old school Netscape would, where it's like it would do a pixelized version of the photos at first and then throw the text up, so you felt like the page loaded faster, even though it still took another 30 to 50 seconds to download the entire page. If you're optimizing for the illusion of being fast, is that a bad thing? Now, in this case, we would say no, because you're optimizing for the human experience. But I think the difference here is you're optimizing to fool an engine. But, you know, it's weird. Like, we don't call it cheating if it's trying to fool us personally, but we do call it cheating if it's trying to fool the benchmark.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the cheating per se sort of takes place every day in the web development world, where something as simple as preloading your images in CSS, so that way everything's preloaded and the page just pops up right away and you're able to use rollovers and stuff pretty much instantaneously. That's not considered cheating. It's more of a convenience to users. But like you said, if it was geared towards the benchmark, then slam the brakes. Hold on 1 second. What's going on, you know?
So. I agree.
Thank you, Gonzo. That's You are tooting a different horn this episode.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Bravo.
Awesome Olivia, I'm drinking.
We caught you off guard. We woke you up from your nap.
I know.
Suddenly he gives shits.
little shits.
Soon he's going to be taking a shit while doing this episode.
You never know.
That'd be a podcast exclusive.
That's in a podcast exclusive I don't think I want to be a part of. That's just wrong.
I'll be coming to your house to do it. How's that?
That's your problem, buddy. You're the one coming to New Jersey.
That's true.
Have a contest. Gonzo comes to your house and poops in your toilet.
Grand prize.
Oh, boy.
The winners are actually losers.
Fuck it, eh?
The Beatles are on iTunes.
Hooray. Oh, my gosh!
I don't give a shit.
There we go. That's Gonzo. The Gonzo we...
I mean, come on. Everyone who wants to listen to the Beatles probably already has all the Beatles albums they possibly want and didn't have to wait for iTunes.
And it's almost redundant. Not too long ago, they released them on USB sticks, if you remember the little apples that the USB stick pulled out of. I think they even... I can't remember if they had like lossless audio on them, too, but they had the MP3s in different formats. So, I mean, at this point, a few years ago, it might have been a bigger deal, but for stuff like the Beatles, I want in lossless audio simply out of principle.
You know, the one benefit I will say to having the Beatles on there is that it makes it easy to apply album art to ones you already have. If you're an asshole that doesn't keep proper album art, I hate you. But now it's easy. Just right-click and add.
But that was something like, I was so mad that they were such holdouts for so long that I actively wanted people not to go out and buy. Like, you don't reward them for being the last jerks to finish the marathon. And I know there's still people behind them, but it's like,
That's how I feel about AC/DC. They're really pretentious about it, and I'm like, fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't they already available on Amazon MP3?
Not the Beatles.
The Beatles? No, the Beatles weren't available yet. You could get them from, like, shady Russian websites.
Right. But,
okay. Right. I'm thinking of the physical box set, which was pretty damn cheap.
Yeah. I mean, I feel at least the Beatles can... If anyone can get away with it, maybe the Beatles, but, like, some of these other bands, like, fuck you guys, you're not that important.
I just don't understand why it took them so long. And I further don't understand why, once they did release everything on iTunes, they decided to not only block the stuff that you already had, but they made it so that when you put in a Beatles CD, your CD drive wouldn't even recognize it. Now, if you were trying to rip it into iTunes, that is, you could still rip it on your own and drag it in there. But iTunes just refused to recognize a Beatles CD in your disk drive.
Is that true? I've heard rumors about that. True? But I've heard conflicting reports.
The first I heard of it was from Ponies. And when I put in my Beatles 1 CD, just to check it, because that's the only one I've got, because I'm not a huge fan. I do like some of their music, but not all of it.
I put in my Beatles on iTunes.
Or I cannot. I put in my Beatles 1 CD, and it was like it wasn't even there. I mean, the disk drive spun up. I could see it like in the Windows Explorer, but in iTunes, it wasn't even showing in the little sidebar.
Wow.
Fucking Steve Jobs.
I mean, I have most of the Beatles CDs. I think I just don't have a few, but yeah, I guess.
Have we gone through an episode without insulting Steve Jobs and then we've been posting these on iTunes?
I don't think so.
Like, I think every episode has involved some sort of fuck you, Steve Jobs, and hey, next thing you know, we're on iTunes. You get us
on
Apple.
We say this because we love him.
Yeah, it's tough love. God.
No.
Bullshit.
But how would you like to go to a Chinese labor camp for a year for retweeting a single item?
I am so glad that you brought this up, because I was just... I gotta admit, I was a little bit absent mentally 30 seconds ago because I just was blown away by the fact that this is a real thing that happened.
We've been hearing, there was another story similar to this about a week ago with some guy threatening to blow up Robin Hood Airport if the planes didn't take off on time or something like that. And then he got arrested and lost both of his jobs and $4,000 worth of fines, but that's nothing compared to a year in a Chinese labor camp.
Hard labor, yeah, to fix your brain. Re-education by hard labor.
Yes. Wow. This is all I got to say to that.
And at least the other guy was, you know, threatening to blow up an airport. I believe the story here was just for using Twitter in the first place.
Like, she retweeted a joke or something.
She retweeted, I believe her fiancé retweeted something about, I guess there was some sort of attack, some Japanese students attacked or defaced something Chinese. I'm not quite sure what the details are.
Fly to Shanghai and smash the Japanese Expo Pavilion.
Yes, that's what he what he suggested sarcastically to do, and she retweeted it with "Go
charge angry youth."
Yes,
I was under the impression that because Twitter is verboten, so like he's like, "How dare you use this at all?" And then
I think Twitter's banned there.
It is banned.
That's why I thought the issue was.
People still. I mean, if that was the issue, everybody, every Chinese person on Twitter would be in a labor camp, but because they find ways to circumvent it easily. But no, this was just for that one single retweet. And what's bizarre about it is they hauled her away on her wedding day of all times.
Oh my God.
Her wedding day.
Retweeting a joke, even if it's a tasteless joke. It's like, I don't know. It's stuff like that really, really shakes it home where it's like, you know, for all of our, in the US and Canada, you know, we just, I don't know, we're so soft. We just assume that you really are allowed to say whatever you want. And there are parts of the world where a billion people are under this rule, where it's like, I mean, she made a poor taste joke, and it's a year of her life. She's going to have to break rocks and sleep on cots.
Yeah, I feel like a douchebag for complaining about the Beatles now.
I don't.
Oh, God. But, no.
Exercising our important freedoms is what you're doing.
Yes. And, it's, you know, I think the Chinese government said that they were watching her for some time because I think she's also, she's considered to be an activist, quote unquote, and she also supports the gentleman who won the Nobel Peace Prize, the Chinese gentleman, and China's refusing to let him accept the Peace Prize by, you know, threatening to imprison his family and kill his babies and whatever it's doing.
Oh my God.
Well, you guys hear about that or?
No.
No, I don't know anything about that.
No, this is why I don't do anything Chinese related.
Not Chinese food.
Yeah, I don't even do Chinese food.
Chinese women. I don't eat Chinese food.
Anything related to Chinese China, checkers. I stay away. Well, especially Chinese checkers. That is the most evil game of all time.
No, has anybody ever actually made it through a whole game of Chinese checkers?
No.
I don't even know how to play Chinese checkers.
Against myself.
I feel it's racist, so I don't support that kind of behavior.
But I know that there was a Chinese person that won the Nobel Peace Prize this year. I think I'm going to butcher his name, sorry, but Liu Xiaobo. And his wife was pretty much put under house arrest because they wanted to convince the gentleman to not go accept the Peace Prize because he was considered to be an activist. So, yeah, the government's cracking down hard on that, and that's why this woman was also hauled away, because she's apparently a sympathizer of the Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Wow.
So
just to make it clear, we strongly support the efforts of our overlords.
Yes. Staying on the
TSA? Is that our overlords?
Sure.
God. I'm sorry. Let's take a break and talk about the TSA for a second. How is it possible that you can be stopped for carrying a nail clipper onto an airplane, and you would have to hand over that nail clipper because you could take over a plane with it, but you're allowed to still go on it? That same person is still allowed to go on it with his gun, his rifle butt, his knives, and all this other military equipment.
I believe the technical term is bullshit.
This was a flight full of, I believe, army or military of some sort, and they were all allowed to go on the plane with their equipment. Obviously, they weren't loaded the guns, but I mean, you had your full equipment on there, rifle butts, etc. And they stopped this guy at the terminal because he had a nail clipper and said he could take over the plane with a nail clipper.
Dude, where did you see this? What country was this? Was this America?
Hey, I've actually got a little bit of insight on that. Both on my flight to and from Kuwait and then to Iraq, we carried our weapons on, cleared, no magazines anywhere near the weapon. They were in our carry-on luggage underneath the plane. We take off from a military base, but it was a chartered 747. They had stewardesses on it and everything, and actual seats. There was a first class. It was an actual, no joke, civilian plane that we were flying over there on. Nobody checked any of our stuff. Like, they told us we couldn't have knives in our carry-on, stuff like that. I had my bayonet in my carry-on. I had one magazine in my carry-on for whatever reason. I just forgot about it, and I had an M16. I didn't have any rounds because they didn't issue us rounds at that point, but it's freaking ridiculous to take someone's nail clippers.
Yeah, when I flew over there, I had one of those pocket knives with the easy open, so you just flick it open with your thumb. I had that sitting on my hip. It was nothing but Marines on the flight. So I don't... Who was checking them?
I'm sorry, but putting through Marines and putting our forces through TSA checkups and stuff like that, I mean, come on. Really? Are we stooping this low? The people that are trying to protect our country are going to somehow, you know, decide to hijack a plane and go ballistic apeshit on there and a plane full of troops? Come on.
The one that kills me is the pilot. The pilot has, or can have, a gun in the cockpit. He's the one flying the freaking plane, and we still security check him.
Yeah. Hmm. Although now we're toning it down a little bit. You know, they're allowed to pass through the checkpoints without the rough strip surges. But
oh, you mean after the cancer patient was covered in his own urine?
Jeez. Oh my God, that was terrible. That was terrible.
I don't know this one. Phyllis,
I really wouldn't want to work for the TSA right now. I mean, they kind of have to do their job, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and I do want to be very, very clear, because a lot of people like to bash the people at the TSA. Look, the people are people who are just trying to do their job. They're the ones who are given the rules, and it doesn't matter if they agree or disagree. They're just doing what they're supposed to do. And a lot of them really do believe that they're making a big difference and helping to keep America safe. And for that, I applaud their sincere efforts. However, the policies of the TSA are the constitutionality of the TSA. That is no holds barred.
You're absolutely right. And I think one airport sort of kicked the TSA out and was going for a private firm to do its security checks. That's really not the solution either. It's the whole system at the top level needs reform. It needs some sort of change. It needs some sort of common sense injected into it. The people who work for the TSA, they need pay increases, because I think that starting salary of $17,000 gets you nowhere in this country, and that's bullshit. I'm sorry. Even if it's sort of part-time, but 17 grand is not going to cut it for anybody with a starting salary.
I think in New York, they're trying to ban these TSA screenings, too, at like JFK and some other places. I thought, I heard at least. But
you need common sense injected into the system. The head of the department head of our transportation, the transportation secretary says tough shit pretty much to us, and this is the way it is, whether you like it or not. Okay, you know what? No, you're an idiot. I'm sorry, but this needs to change. Sorry, my spiel.
Ding dang.
We agree.
But
fuck the TSA.
Well, anyway, on to happier subjects. On the same topic of China, they hijacked 18 minutes of the internet a few weeks ago.
What do you mean hijacked?
They hijacked it. They held it at gunpoint and took it.
You belong to me, internet.
They're sending all of us into labor camps now.
Nobody allowed to get any work done. They all had to watch a monkey riding backwards on a pig.
They had to watch the Cooking by the Book with Little John.
That's right.
Special guest appearances by our great leader. But no, I think all of the traffic on the internet got routed to China for 18 minutes about a few weeks ago. Some people said conspiracy. Some people said they did it deliberately. Other people said, well, Who gives a shit, in the words of Gonzo?
Yeah.
But I don't think we will ever know what happened or how it's going to happen. I don't really fully grasp any of it. Does anybody have any thoughts on that, just since we're on the topic?
This at least sounds legitimate. I mean, I've heard, you know, all the claims that the Pentagon's been hacked and everything, but many times that's, you know, like the public site. So news-wise, when they report it, like, the Pentagon has been hacked. We're screwed, but really, nothing's in danger. But this time it sounds like it's, you know, a bit more strange.
I just hope as it was happening somebody said, all your internets are belong to us.
We can only hope.
Our best defense against, you know, internet hackings from foreign countries and stuff like that, we take a page out of Independence Day. We put Jeff Goldblum on an old MacBook and he uploads a virus that says virus in an alien language, interfaces with an alien computer, and does its dirty damage. It's the only way.
Are you accusing that movie of not being completely believable?
What?
Not at all, kind sir.
Will Smith couldn't lead? Are you saying?
No, I'm just saying we need Jeff Goldblum. With Jeff Goldblum, anything is possible against CyberDeath.
Just give him a virus. Bam, done.
A virus.
I loved that movie when I was a kid.
I bet the virus was written in Visual Basic, too.
Because that's what click all aliens button. Use, Visual Basic. the official coding language of the universe, Visual Basic, 1995.
It's got to comply with standards, man.
Oh, boy. All right. First-person shooters. Do they give you supervision? This has been...
So.
If that's true, why the hell am I still wearing glasses?
Yes, they do. They give you super ability to visualize your room as you sit there all alone
and contemplate your sad existence.
Wait, I'm good at that.
Well, it's no secret or no that it's been shown through numerous studies that kids who play certain driving video game simulators like Grand Theft Auto or whatnot actually do have better driving reflexes and are better drivers on the road.
Wait, I thought the whole point of Grand Theft Auto was to wreck the car.
You wreck the car? Oh, come on. I follow the rules of the road.
I stop at all the stop red lights.
Yeah. I wave people by.
I even signal with my hands in real life. People wonder what I'm doing, but, you know, just cautious driving.
That'll be the next Grand Theft Auto on Kinect.
And then I kill
signaling with your hands.
But, no, I don't find it that hard to believe that, you know, first-person shooters make you
a killer.
Video games are the devil.
Well,
okay, I'll let you finish your sentence this time. Go ahead.
That's for the Supreme Court to decide, because now it's in the Supreme Court on whether video games should be, you know, banned or censored in some way or form.
But, Bobby Boucher, that's the work of the devil.
No, no, no.
Oh God!
Why
don't do that again?
Say I'm what?
I'm a little bit flabbergasted right now. Call of Duty hit $650 million in 5 days on the subject of first-person shooters. And I'm not going to recite this line on the topic list about Halo fanboys saying la 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 and plugging their ears. Even though I just
know
did.
It's
you
true.
Won't say it at all.
You know it's true.
Oh, come on, really? I mean, do we expect Call of Duty not to break a record? It's going to be going back and forth between Call of Duty and Halo for the next few years. Even though it's a worn-out
franchise.
Halo's
done, aren't they?
Yeah, Halo's done. Well,
I thought, no, it's just
under Bungie.
Under Bungie it's done, but they're planning on coming out with many, many more under a new studio.
Oh, yeah, because that'll be just as popular. The first one might be just as popular because everybody's like, oh, my God, Halo! And then when they realize it's not Bungie and it's not amazing, then they'll...
You say that, but this Call of Duty was Treyarch, which was treated like the redheaded stepchild, but this is the one where Treyarch stepped up, and people are saying it was better than Modern Warfare 2.
Yes, and I think Treyarch was the one that did it, what was it, 19...
They did Call of Duty World at War.
World at War, yes.
I hated World at War. Well, I've played too many World War II games.
And they also did Call of Duty 3, I believe. But they were the ones where it's like whenever Infinity Ward was taking a break, they would come in and use the same engine and throw some stuff in there. But it sounds like they stepped up their game. And I hope so, because I really, really disliked the now, I played it on PC, so that meant that for the single-player campaign, I had the disappointment of it being a retarded Michael Bay movie. And then on the multiplayer campaign... because there were no servers, it was nothing but cheaters everywhere I went. So it was really frustrating to me. So it sounds like they've done a lot right on the new Call of Duty, but I haven't played it yet.
Well, I think Bobby Kotick, the CEO of Activision Blizzard, is probably sitting on top of his tower, hip thrusting towards the wave of Infinity Ward, saying, eat it, dickwads. We could do without you.
We've done it. We made the money printing machine. Suck it.
Dude, they made the money printing machine when they made World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
$6 million per day.
Wow.
Well, I wouldn't be so sure about that. They say they have 12.5 million subscribers, but that could be people, that's not active subscriptions per month. It's just people that have subscribed to the game. My personal opinion on that.
Well, no, that's why it hung up for so long. Watch, it's going to jump again when it hits when Cataclysm comes out.
Of course, I mean
because everybody's going to come back.
There should be national holidays scheduled around video games releases, like the release day of Cataclysm, the release day of Halo, the release day of, you know, well, Modern War, any Call of Duty, pretty
Duke
much.
Duke Nukem.
Yes, I mean, stuff like that where people where people camp out for like a week before and then call in sick the next day just to play with their new phone or their new video game or whatever all day long, and productivity shrinks like 30% in one day.
That should be part of benefits. You got sick days and then you got nerd days.
Yes, it should be a national holiday.
Do you get those if you work for Twit, Brian?
I probably should.
It's research for the show.
I mean, it practically is. I mean, it's almost better than a nerd day because it's like they send me to E3 to cover E3. And then not only do I get to go to E3, not only do I get to get in for free at E3, but I'm like, oh, crap, you mean I'm a journalist and I get special presentations and I get paid to do this? Are you high? This is the best gig ever.
That is the best gig ever.
Although E3 sort of been changing the last few years. They've been trying to keep it away from the fraternity party that it is and trying to get a little
more. Not no more. E3's back.
Is it back?
It's giant, and there's boobies and half-naked booth babes, and yeah, it's awesome.
All right, we got to hit it big so you guys can send me to E3.
Yeah, because we'll be sending you.
I believe I'm going to CES.
our podcast should be live at E3.
Yes, we should. We'll be welcome guests.
I like how Brian Brushwood just said we. You could you could be a part of this show every week if you wanted. That would be amazing.
Another podcast in your record.
Because it's not like you
there
have
you go.
Enough
That's
going
number
on.
Five.
I was just thinking I really have too much free time.
You need to do a podcast every day of the week.
I don't have enough to do. I totally need a podcast that nobody listens to.
Yay.
I'm going to make a podcast and be talking to myself in the bathroom.
That's basically what we're doing right now. We got what?
Ben Quinn in the bathroom.
That listen?
That's brilliant. This is a spinoff.
Penguin's bathroom.
Penguin, did you pick up a Bluetooth keyboard for your iPhone yet?
No, because no. I don't need one.
I think there's a new product out from Boxwave, the keyboard buddy case for the Apple iPhone 4 that pretty much wraps around your iPhone like a case, and it has a slide-out keyboard that connects to your phone, and you could use it like a slide-out QWERTY.
Yeah, I saw that. It looks pretty neat. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a cool-looking product.
I think it's one of the few ones that actually looks good and looks like it works.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a need for it personally, but I could see a lot of people liking it, and you know, that's pretty cool. So
that's the only problem is it's made a total convert out of me when it comes to, like, I don't want a keyboard. Like, even if I were to switch over to a Droid, I would find a Droid that didn't have a keyboard.
Yeah, me too. Like, I've grown to, you know, adopt and love software keyboards, so I don't need one anymore. But for those people that choose to be stubborn and need their tactile response and
no, actually, the iPhone made me go back to wanting a keyboard, which is why I got my Droid 2, because I wanted the physical keyboard, because I had to correct my iPhone every sentence. I could not type with a typo.
But a physical keyboard doesn't have the autocorrect on there, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about.
That means you have to get every key right? I'm like, oh, that's what's great about the software is you just mash buttons, and I'm like, yeah, that's what I meant.
I could type it with my face if I wanted to. I have it on swipe right now, which sucks balls, by the way.
Windows Phone 7 is supposed to be pretty good about autocorrect, I think, from what I've seen at least.
As long as they don't change, like, you know, Disney to, like, Nazi or rapist.
Oh my gosh,
like
that was the greatest
divorce.
Greatest autocorrect was the Disney one, yeah.
Your mom and I are going to divorce next month.
What?
Call me, please. Why are you divorcing?
Disney. I wrote Disney.
iPhone. It knows what you're thinking. It knows what you want to say. But yeah, I'm a physical keyboard guy. And AT&T joke time? Yes? No?
Yay!
It's always
AT&T is
joke
a joke
time.
In itself.
AT&T is launching its little MiFi thingy, whatever, personal wireless hotspot, which is sort of funny because AT&T's network. I don't know.
That's what they need, more people using their wireless internet.
Yes.
Yeah, well, now here's the thing. Everyone craps on AT&T, and granted, if you live in San Francisco, you should be very, very upset at AT&T.
Or New York.
But or New York as well. But
or Chicago.
You know, 10 years ago when I had to pick a cellular provider, I picked one based on who had the most coverage. And AT&T, they used to lease all their bandwidth from other companies, so they had the most coverage, and that's who I went with. So I've been with them since way before the iPhone, and I got to admit, it's like it's about 50-50. Either I'm frustrated with poor connection, or it's screaming with multi-megabits. And if it's kind of thing where if this thing works just half the time, as you're talking about a little MiFi hotspot type thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it works half the time, then I'm going to be on balance pretty happy with it. And plus, with all the rumors of iPhone coming to Verizon, that's nothing but good news to people who are already on AT&T, because a bunch of people will leave AT&T and free up the bandwidth, because Verizon's network could not come close to handling the amount of smartphone use that AT&T is having to put up with right now.
I'll give AT&T credit, too. In upstate New York, back home south of Albany, 3G was actually really good. And while up at school, I only would get Edge on AT&T back home. I mean, Sprint up here has 3G. I have the Evo, but it is slow.
If you're interested in alternatives about your MiFi or whatnot, check out episode 6 of the White Noise podcast, where I review Clear's little 4G USB dongle for your laptop, which also comes as a MiFi device too. So, just if you're curious. But Brian, I wanted to ask you. You said you worked for Dell, right?
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day, did you ever meet the dude guy?
No, I got accused of being the dude guy early on. he was after my time. I left Dell before the dude guy showed up. Before he came and went.
Gotcha. But I know Dell's sort of changing the way we think about netbooks and laptops and tablets altogether. We talked about this just briefly in the last podcast, but the Dell Inspiron Duo, which is the netbook that sort of has a screen that magnetically swivels around, and once you close it, it turns into pretty much a tablet device.
Cool.
Has Dell come a long way from when you worked there? What is your opinion on that? They sort of had a dark ages for the last few years, but
I mean, unfortunately, you're talking to a guy, you know, it's like once I left, I, you know, all my contacts there, the people who do work at Dell still, the last thing they want to do is talk about work, you know, so it's like we're out and drinking. So I actually don't have any inside rocket sauce with Dell. I know that for a while I was just too busy to build my own system, so I'd buy them from Dell, but then I just had a couple of bad experiences with laptops, and now I'm actually going with these tiny, I'm kind of rolling the dice on these tiny manufacturers. Like the last two computers I bought were from CyberPower. And in fact, the one that we used to run all of NSFW is a quad core PC that I mean, it was like $850 bare bones. And then the rest of it was spare parts I had laying around.
Cool. Check out the Dell Inspiron little tablet thing. I think when you flip the screen, it's magnetic. If you flip it and then you snap it down on top of the keyboard so it turns into a tablet, the UI changes. It runs Windows 7 Home Premium, but they threw a little UI enhancements on there, so it actually becomes more gives it more of a tablet feel, like you're actually running something on a tablet device, like an Android or an iPhone, with like, you know, your big buttons and all that cool, interesting stuff. So
yeah, I'll check it out.
It's coming out, I think, for about $550 in December. I'm not sure what the customizations on it will be. It's running an Atom processor. It's got 320 gigs of storage, decent RAM and stuff like that, but it should be interesting to see how it hits this holiday season. And also on the processor side, Qualcomm is telling us that in 2011 we're going to be seeing some processors in our mobile devices like phones, tablets, etc., that are going to be rivaling the PS3 and the Xbox 360 in terms of speed, in terms of GPU power, and in terms of battery usage, battery consumption, and heat. Dual core, and they're going to be dual core processors and hitting probably the 2 gigahertz mark.
That's amazing.
I would love better battery power. My biggest irk with a lot of portable tech is just battery power, basically.
Battery technology guys, seems...
Have any of you guys played Rage HD on the iPad or iPhone this week?
No. I heard about it.
For $2, and it's no lie, man. It's a legit full-on... It looks like a console game. It looks like a PC, a high-end game. I mean, it's awesome looking.
Well, if anybody could have pulled it off, it was John Carmack, you know?
Yeah.
I seen the previews and following it, and when I was watching the live QuakeCon and stuff like that, it looked unreal to be able to see that thing on an iPhone. But
well, back to the multi-core processor, real quick. The thing that I like about this and why it seems that we'll be getting much better battery power out of this is because multi-core processors can usually run cooler and with lower power simply because they can split up all of the processing among the multiple cores. So with a multi-core processor, not only are you going to be getting a faster phone or mobile device, but it's going to be lasting longer too, and you won't you won't have to download special apps to underclock your phone or downvolt it or whatever.
I've had my Droid 2 Global for a week, and I already want to find. I am already ready to root it, even though I shouldn't be. just so I could underpower it, because it's running at 1.2 gigahertz. That's a standard clock speed, and Motorola, I swear to God, there has to be some sort of class action lawsuit that could be made out of this. But they're using the same battery in this phone that they used on the original Droid. And the original Droid was, you know, half the specs, half the speed, half the battery power was eating it. And they're having this on a phone that blazes everything away. And my battery life went from 100% to zero within about 4 hours of normal use.
Wow.
I had to pony up $60 to get the extended battery, which has, you know, it's a little bit bigger. And honestly, I'm looking at maybe a 10, maybe 15% increase in battery life at the most. So pretty much I'm hauling two batteries around with me now. My normal one that's fully charged and the one on the phone. And halfway through the day, I swap them out.
Now see, when I got my Droid X, I did the exact same thing that I did with my iPhone. I had an iPhone for 2 years, and I had three chargers. I had one in my truck, one at work, and one at home. And that's the same thing with my Droid X. I've got one plugged into my computer, one at work, and one in my truck, simply because I don't want to get stuck, you know, with a dead battery. Now, the Droid X has had really good battery life, and my presence here should be enough to let you know I'm a huge geek and I spend a lot of my time fucking around with my phone. So I'm actually not disappointed at all with the battery life on my Droid X.
I still keep my iPhone around just for music, because I know if I use music on this thing, if I listen to it on the train, my phone's going to be done within a few hours. Yeah, that's how ridiculous it is. So,
dude, that sucks.
It really does. That's the biggest downfall of this phone. Aside from that, everything about this phone I absolutely love, coming from an iPhone user. Just the battery, man. I mean, even I have the screen display all the way to zero, because the screen was using like 34% originally. Now it's like down to 15, but still, it's not enough to cut it. But oh well, can't have it all, right?
I thought my Evo was bad, but I guess yeah. I can't complain.
Well, anyway. It is that time where we must say goodbye.
Aww.
Aww.
So long, farewell.
Thank you. Adieu.
Thank you, everybody, for coming out again tonight. Quickly,
you guys are going to bust out like with some choreography. That was going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be, but they didn't jump on board. I'm ashamed in all of you.
Yeah, me too.
We wanted you to have your 15 seconds of fame, Benguin.
Not even. That was more like 3 seconds of fame. Whatever, I'll take it.
Be thankful for what you have. It's Thanksgiving. By the way, happy early Thanksgiving to everybody. This will be running on Thanksgiving weekend.
Unless you're a dirty Canadian.
Oh.
But you clean Canadians can pretend.
Just as we were going good with not offending anybody and not losing any followers, you just had to bust that out, didn't you?
I love Canada.
It's
and
great.
All other countries.
Poutine. Woo!
Gravy right. And french fries.
To recap, tonight we had on the show Gonzo Rider.
If you don't touch my junk, I'll have you arrested.
Oh god. Benguin was here with his review of Rock Melt.
Cool story, bros.
Snoop Dizzle was here.
Hey, I'm just looking for a girl who is a lady in public and a TSA screener in the bedroom. Wink.
Oh, God. Veto number 9.
It was going so well. So well, right up until the end.
Yes. Kevlar was live tweeting as usual, and he popped in to give us his cool story, bro. And, of course, the special guest of the night, Brian Brushwood. Thank you so much for coming out.
Seriously, thank you so much for having me on. Let me be the first to say...
Yes! You guys, anybody who's listening, could follow Brian Brushwood on Twitter at SHWood. And, of course, don't forget to check out his show, NSFW, on Twit, as well as the Scam School on Revision 3.
Yes, sirs.
For sure.
Don't forget frame rate.
And frame weird rate. Things.
Weird things.
Weird things.
And the White Noise podcast.
The list just keeps growing. But again, this
let's not forget our own
podcast.
Twitter.
You could, yes, I'll get into that right now. You could get us at thewhitenoisepodcast.com, where you could find us streaming, or you could get the link on iTunes from there as well, or Zune, or the direct link. Whatever floats your boat, you get it on thewhitenoisepodcast.com, which also will have our topic list of the night. We also have a new Twitter feed. We no longer are Wallet Pizza, which actually now makes more sense. We are now Noisecast, NOISECAST. That's right, Twitter is now Noisecast. Rest in peace, Wallet Pizza.
You can also find us in Shady Back Alleys.
Well, you can find Penguin in Shady Back Alleys.
trying to get... Never mind.
Looking for my Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, that's where I was headed with that.
Shameless plug. But
if you find me there, I'm just watching TV. It's cool.
And of course, I am your trusty host, Configlio Rumpelmeyer.
God damn it.
Stephen Callis, we apologize to him for using his name and ruining his reputation and any future career he had anywhere. He's really not Stephen Callis.
He was never going anywhere.
Yeah, he was a failure to begin with.
You met that guy, you know.
All right. Thank you, everybody, again for coming out tonight. We appreciate all your input. And don't forget to visit us, thewhitenoisepodcast.com, Twitter, Noisecast, and we will see you here again next week.
Yay! Cue applause track.
Baby monkey.
And we're done.